Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Age of Surveillance Capitalism is a major work of contemporary nonfiction by Shoshana Zuboff, a scholar of business and technology, published in 2019. It examines the rise of surveillance capitalism as a new economic logic built on extracting behavioral data from digital life and turning that data into prediction and influence. Rather than treating technology as a neutral tool, the book argues that leading digital firms developed systems designed to monitor, analyze, and shape human behavior at scale. Zuboff places this development in a larger historical context, linking it to the evolution of the internet, the advertising economy, and the weakening of public oversight. The book is both analytical and normative. It explains how the system works, and it asks what kind of society emerges when private companies gain unprecedented power over knowledge, behavior, and choice. Its purpose is to clarify the stakes for democracy, privacy, and human autonomy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how surveillance capitalism turns everyday experience into behavioral raw material. Zuboff's central claim is that digital platforms do not merely provide services. They continuously extract data from ordinary activity and convert it into a profitable resource. Search queries, clicks, location traces, device use, and other forms of online and offline behavior become raw material for analysis. The book emphasizes that this is not the same as standard advertising or simple personalization. What distinguishes surveillance capitalism is the scale and asymmetry of extraction. Users are often unaware of how much is being captured, and the data is treated as a proprietary asset by the firms collecting it. This creates an economic model in which human experience itself becomes a source of value. The significance of this idea is that it reframes digital convenience as a form of extraction, showing how surveillance can be embedded in routine participation rather than imposed only through explicit coercion. Secondly, prediction markets and the shift from information to behavioral control. A major theme in the book is the development of behavioral futures markets, where companies do not simply collect data, but use it to predict what people will do next. Zuboff argues that once prediction becomes profitable, the next step is to improve prediction by influencing behavior itself. This is where the logic of surveillance capitalism moves beyond observation into modification. The book describes how platforms and advertisers benefit when they can nudge users toward outcomes that are more profitable, more predictable, or more commercially useful. In this sense, data is not the end product. It is a means of reducing uncertainty and steering conduct. Zuboff's analysis matters because it shows how commercial incentives can reward systems that quietly narrow user agency. The danger is not only that people are watched, but that their choices are progressively shaped by architectures they do not control. Thirdly, Big Other as a new form of power beyond the old Big Brother model. Zuboff uses the idea of Big Other to describe a pervasive digital environment that watches, records, and influences behavior without needing the dramatic visibility associated with authoritarian surveillance. This concept helps distinguish corporate data power from classic state repression. Big Other operates through interfaces, sensors, machine learning systems, and network services that are woven into daily life, making surveillance ordinary and often invisible. The book's point is that this power does not depend on a single central authority issuing commands. Instead, it emerges from a distributed architecture of platforms, devices, and incentives that collectively dominate the conditions of action. By introducing this framework, Zuboff shows why older political vocabularies are insufficient for describing the digital environment. Big Other is especially important because it captures how surveillance capitalism can feel normal, useful, and even convenient while still concentrating knowledge and control in private hands. Fourthly, instrumentarian power and the erosion of democratic autonomy. Another key argument in the book is that surveillance capitalism depends on what Zuboff calls instrumentarian power, a form of control that seeks to shape behavior rather than punish dissent. This is a crucial distinction because it explains why the system can expand without appearing overtly violent. Instead of visible force, it relies on prediction, tuning, personalization, and behavioral adjustment. The political consequence is an erosion of autonomy. Individuals may still feel free, but their environments are increasingly engineered to influence what they notice, want, and do. Zuboff presents this as an anti-democratic development because democratic life requires citizens who can reason, choose, and deliberate without hidden manipulation. The book also links this to the weakening of collective oversight, arguing that law and institutions have lagged behind corporate power. This topic matters because it moves the discussion beyond privacy alone and toward the broader question of whether democratic agency can survive in digitally managed environments. Lastly, a call for rights, law, and collective response to reclaim the digital future. The book is not only diagnostic, it also argues that the future is still contestable. Zuboff insists that societies can choose whether digital systems serve human flourishing or corporate domination. Her practical emphasis is on democratic rule of law, new rights, and public accountability that limit private control over behavioral data and digital infrastructures. She does not present a technical fix or a consumer-level solution, because the problem is structural rather than individual. Instead, she frames the response as a collective political project requiring regulation, civic awareness, and institutional reform. This makes the book distinct from lighter privacy critiques that focus mainly on user habits. Zuboff's position is that the stakes include human rights, social trust, and democratic legitimacy. The result is a book that combines economic critique with a programmatic warning if digital systems remain governed by extraction and prediction alone. They will reshape society in ways that are difficult to reverse. In conclusion, The Age of Surveillance Capitalism is best suited for readers interested in technology policy, digital ethics, political economy, media studies, and the future of democracy. It is especially valuable for anyone trying to understand why platform companies are not just media businesses or advertising firms, but powerful institutions that shape attention, behavior, and social organization. The book offers a strong conceptual framework for thinking about data extraction, prediction markets, and the hidden influence of algorithmic systems. Its practical benefit is that it helps readers see everyday digital convenience in structural terms, which is useful for evaluating privacy debates, regulation, and corporate accountability. What makes it stand out from many books on technology is its scale and ambition. It does not focus only on isolated abuses or individual apps, but on a broader economic logic that Zuboff argues is transforming society. Compared with simpler critiques of big tech, it is more historical, more theoretical, and more institutionally focused. It is demanding, but it rewards readers who want a serious account of how digital power works and why it matters. If you would like to support Shoshana Zuboff, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.